It's always a privilege for us at PBT to partner with other ministries. We support missionaries globally, locally, as you know. We also partner with organizations locally and provincially. And one of the ministries that we are blessed to be able to partner with is the Ministry of Teen Challenge. Many of you were here. We've had Teen Challenge in the past. For some of you, you may not know about that ministry. And so that's why we have some representatives from Teen Challenge Renfrew here this morning. And so I'm going to introduce Kevin Schaefer. Kevin, you can join me here. Kevin is the liaison for Teen Challenge for Eastern Ontario. And he has a team of men with him. Some of them are going to be participating in the service. After the service this morning, take time to talk to them at their table. They can help you understand how you can help. And join us for that fellowship lunch. They'll be joining us as well. You can connect with them there. So welcome this morning, representatives of Teen Challenge. And the first up, Kevin Schaefer. Welcome to PPT this morning, Kevin. Bless you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Paul. Good morning, church. It's such a privilege to be here. So the echo is kind of... Is that better? Yeah, I think. It's such a privilege to be here and coming back to PPT. This is my first time speaking. We've had some other speakers, representatives from Teen Challenge here, but this is the first time I've had the joy of attending and participating in PACA, the Pembroke Area Clergy Association, with Pastor Paul and some others. And that's been a real joy to see the unity of the church with the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to see what's happening in Pembroke. It has been a real joy to be part of that. And so I'm really grateful that after getting to know me, you've actually invited me to come speak, so I appreciate that. I'm here with some of the guys from the program. So we've got Evan, who I just threw him under the bus. He's not there. But Matthew, Chuck, and our center director surprised me, walked in. And so Meshach Musa is here. I'll be speaking a little bit more about him later on. It's just... How many of you are aware of the Teen Challenge ministry already? Okay. Now, my job is to try and keep you guys awake while informing everyone else. So for those who aren't familiar with Teen Challenge, we are a worldwide network of over 1,400 Christ-centered Bible teaching drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. It's a 12-month program. It's residential, so men are staying with us. There's an additional options for after the 12 months, after the graduation. But right off the bat, I need to clear something up. And looking at our front row, you're probably thinking, teen. Aren't you stretching the teen just a little wee bit? And I like to tease Chuck that he's actually 18, but this is what drugs and alcohol will do to a person. But he's okay with me sharing that. Like, I've cleared that with him. But no, our program is for men and women around the world. Our center is just for men in Renfrew, 18 years and older. And the oldest participant in our program right now is 72. And our oldest graduate was 72 a year or two ago. And our youngest is 21. So the name Teen Challenge comes from the origins of our ministry. 1960 with a person, some of you might know the name David Wilkerson, and he wrote a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. And some of you might not realize that The Cross and the Switchblade is actually an account of the beginning of our ministry team challenge. And so, was it 65 years later? Here we are. Before we go to the Word of the Lord and explore what our Heavenly Father has for each one of us, including me, let's go to Him in prayer. Father God, we come to You with reverence and awe for who You are. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are our Creator, our Sustainer. So, Lord, we pause just to acknowledge You and to come before Your feet, seeking to hear and learn from You. And as we open up Your word, may we reverence Your word as we reverence You. Pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every individual in our midst, including me, including our team. Lord, You have something for each one of us, and we want to accept that. We want to hear that. Open our ears, open our hearts to hear and obey what You have for us. We pray this in the beautiful, the wonderful, and the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage that I want to speak from today is a passage that was relevant in Isaiah's day. It's Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. It was relevant in Isaiah's day, and Jesus quoted it, making it relevant in His day and every age. Since then, it's relevant to us here today. And it really speaks of God's heart to a broken world. Do we live in a broken world? We sure do. Right back to the Garden of Eden. And it continues today. We just have to look at social media. We just have to look at the news. And many of us, maybe even in this room today, are feeling broken. But there's good news. And it comes from the Lord God Himself. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, and the release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. For they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." Here we read the symptoms of a broken world, which we clearly see around us, and some of us at various times in our life we experience brokenness. Praise God for his mercy, for his redemption. These are symptoms of Adam's fallen race. A poor, and speaking of poor in spirit, brokenhearted, prisoner. And those aren't just iron bars. There's many different types of prisons. There's the prisons of the heart. There's prisons of the mind. And there's prisons of addiction. There are those of us who are mourn. And some are feel like our lives have been left in ashes, that there's nothing left, there's no hope. Some are grieving. Some are in a spirit of despair. This passage in Isaiah reveals God's heart. God's heart for brokenhearted and captives. And in Luke 4, we read when Jesus quotes this very passage, he reads it and sits down and says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And what he's saying is not, "I bring good news." He's saying, "I am the good news. I am the great physician who binds the brokenhearted. I, in my death and resurrection, give liberty for the captives and freedom from those who are bound. I bring comfort, consolation, and joy." And we read through this list of what God brings to us. And it's for his glory. It's for the display of his splendor. That people would look at us and say, "Wow, Kevin was a mess. But look what God has done. Praise be to him." Colossians 1:13 declares, "He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. As a kingdom of light." He's rescued us from darkness into the kingdom of light. John 10:10 is a passage I've been really thinking about over this last week. Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Eternal, abundant life. How good is that? From a domain of darkness, eternal, abundant life. In 1 John 5, it reads, "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have this life." This is the heart of our God, our Lord, our Rescuer, our Savior, that we would all, without exception, have this eternal, abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ and be delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Slide number 4, please. Eric. Many of those who are trapped by the brokenness of this world, fall into addictions. And you've probably seen this slide before, one of our previous presentations. It hasn't been updated for a while, but this is from 2017, Canadian Mental Health Association did some statistics, and they discovered that at some point in Canadians' lives, 6 million will fall into addictions at some point. That was back then, that was 21% of the population. That was before the pandemic. And I don't know if you realize this, but you probably see it on a regular basis. Before the pandemic, Pembroke at one point was the number one addictions per capita in Ontario. And we know, and I think you probably see it more than anyone, since the pandemic, it's got worse. It hasn't gone down. Now what's happened is it's no longer number one, not because Pembroke has gone down, because other centers in Northern Ontario have gone up. And some of the centers, or some of the areas in Northern Ontario, the death rate is 3 times the average of the rest of Ontario. Some of the statistics are staggering and heartbreaking. In Canada, and this is a more current statistic, it is estimated that more than 200 people die every day due to substance use. 200. And it's easy to get lost in the statistics, but to realize that every individual is a precious soul that God loves. Every individual has a name, has a past. They are a son or they are a daughter. Some are mothers and fathers, friends and neighbors. And I know that it breaks God's heart, especially many of those will pass away without knowing him. And that breaks his heart. And it's hit me in a whole new way. Just the gravity of our situation. And this is just focusing on addictions. There's so many other areas of mental health. Our area of expertise is addictions. So that's what we bring here. Addiction affects every corner of society, every socioeconomic group. The poor, but the rich. Those who are uneducated, those who are highly educated. The panhandler on the street and the executive in the skyscraper above. The homeless and those living in massive mansions. Addiction shows no favoritism. And it's important to realize that it not only affects the individual who's addicted, but the whole family and community around. Can I ask by a show of hands, how many have been affected by addictions either directly or indirectly? Yeah. When I was first asked that by our CEO, Glenn Smeltzer, I thought, I grew up in a Christian family. No, not me. And then I started to realize, people started coming to mind. And many of us might not even be aware of how we've been affected, but there are people all around us. And the one thing about addiction is many times it's hidden. People tend to hide it as best they can. It's not always obvious. Next slide, please. We've read about God's heart, to bind, to bandage the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That what he wants for us is abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give life and give it abundantly. This is also our mission, our heart at Teen Challenge. We can't heal broken hearts. And we can't turn around broken lives. But we can introduce men and women to the one who can. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission statement is to demonstrate God's love by helping individuals, men and women, overcome substance addiction and lead full and meaningful lives. So right up front, we purpose to demonstrate God's love. And there's two ways of doing that. And I want to encourage you to embrace our mission statement in your mission field around Pembroke, to demonstrate God's love. And there's two ways of doing that. One is experience God's love yourself. It's hard to demonstrate something that you don't know yourself. Demonstrate by knowing him and letting him shine in your life. The second is to show, to act. In Matthew 5, it says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. So to let God shine his life, his love through us, but then to act. So I want to encourage you, PPT, to demonstrate God's love to those that are around you. We have a goal of, so this is kind of the short-term goal, to help individuals become free from substance addictions. That's what we're about. The longer-term goal is to equip them to live full and meaningful lives. I like to substitute abundant lives in our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is meaningful and that is full. I'd like to invite Matthew. Matthew is our participant in our program right now. And he's, which mic do you want? Is this okay?
Is this working?
He's scheduled to graduate at the end of January. And so it's so wonderful to see how much Matt has grown, and he'd like to share with you now kind of what God has been doing in his life, and you've got this.
Test. Morning, church. You know, it's
true pleasure to be up here today and share my message of hope with not just you guys, but Jesus Christ, right? So I'll get right into it. Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew, and I'm 23 years of age. I grew up in northern Ontario in a small town called Levac. I was an only child to my parents, and they did their best to raise me. But I found life pretty lonely and hard growing up with no siblings. For my childhood years, I played sports in and out of school throughout my young teenage years. It was my first love playing sports, and it was hard, but it took dedication and much training. It cost me many friendships, but when I was 13 years old, I quit, turning my back on sports, teammates that I knew my whole life. I was separated and searching to find what I was missing in life, or I thought so. Started smoking cigarettes with my best friend, stealing from his parents at the age of 11. I was showing signs of not caring and had a bad attitude towards my school. I became miserable, fell behind due to lack of respect towards my teachers, and at this age, I started drinking and smoking dope every weekend and going to parties. I became pretty vulnerable. I put the worst of the worst through my system, which brought the worst of an individual out, making me do things that put me in terrible places and around some pretty gruesome individuals. Started hanging out with people who were much older than me, from 5 to 55 years in age difference. And this would change my life forever. One of my closest buddies introduced me and my addictive personality to cocaine at the age of 13 years old. It never entered my mind what a deadly substance would do to me and my family, and the pain and misery that I put him through. At the age of 14, I started manufacturing and running drugs of all different kinds with older men and gang members who I thought were my brothers. I thought I was helping people to cope with life and find that they were looking for. My young mind didn't realize what I was actually doing. At the age of 17, the law caught up with me, and I was arrested, including drug trafficking, but I didn't know why I was a part of such a messy situation, and it took a toll on my relationship with family and friends. But this is where I found my Heavenly Father through the most difficult times in my younger years. After fighting many years of drug addiction, I was put in the hospital many times to drug overdoses. There was one point where I was dead for 3 hours, and it took 21 Narcans to wake me back up. I know that God was there, and he rescued me from myself. Today, I'm grateful, and I still fight my demons, but what is in my heart speaks louder than my words. Recovery takes action and encouragement, and I can't ask for better brothers and sisters in my life supporting my recovery. I'm especially grateful for my girlfriend, who has helped me through the worst of my days and is there to listen to what I have to say and the challenges that we must face in rehab and into our future. I thank God, and I bless by his wonderful strength and power to be up here sharing my life story with you all. I want to help more people come to God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I've seen nothing but miracles since I've come to Christ. And one of my biggest goals in life is to encourage people to come forward and step forward to get help that they need most. If you are struggling with drugs and alcohol or any kind of abuse, you're not alone. Substances aren't helping you. They're filling your mind with worse thoughts. Now it's time for you to start searching for the help and take the next step. Please reach out to Team Challenge and other support systems. And I'll leave you with a Bible verse, Matthew 6:33 or 32. First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Thanks, church.
Good job. He does well.
Thank you, Matthew. Praise God. It's been quite a journey. So slide 7, please. There we go. I mentioned before David Wilkerson. When he was a 28-year-old pastor from rural Pennsylvania, he felt the call of God to go to New York City and minister to the gang members and those caught in addictions. Talk about being called out of your comfort zone. 28 years old. From there, his obedience to God's calling has led to over 1,400 rehabilitation centers worldwide. Next slide, please. In over 129 countries. So, church, I want to encourage you, be obedient to his calling, whatever he's calling you to. Be obedient. In Canada, next slide, we have 8 centers, 5 that are serving men and 3 who are serving women, with 1 additional center being developed in Northern Ontario, where the need is great, in Sudbury. So our center, next slide, was opened almost 4 years ago, January 4th, 2022. We're just outside of Renfrew, in 205 acres that was donated to us. And so we're just incredibly grateful for that donation that allows us to be where we are, serving in the way that we are. We have a total capacity of 16 beds, currently serving 6 men at the center, 5 in our 12-month program, and 1 man in our postgraduate program. Some of you have been praying that we'd find an on-site addictions counselor, and the prayers have been answered. After a long search, the Lord has led someone to come to us just a couple of weeks ago. So our prayer is that this will enable us to serve more men. And maybe, I'm looking at our center director here, maybe open up all the beds at our center in Renfrew. This has been a major hurdle that we've had in opening more beds. So praise God for that. We had a man graduate just a week ago, Friday, November 7th. And we just praise God for every graduation. This man plans to go to Bible college and to go into full-time ministry later on. We praise God for many men who've accepted Christ in the program here in Renfrew, and for many who have gone on to baptism. And we have a few men that are planning on following the Lord in the waters of baptism in a few weeks. So the Lord is definitely working at the center to free men from the grip of addictions, to bring him to himself, bring men to himself, to help believers who are struggling with addiction to rediscover their identity in Christ, to strengthen each man in their journey, regardless of where they are in their walk. Next slide. Some of the distinctives of our center, or of Teen Challenge in general. If you haven't caught on to this already, we are a Christ-centered program. We believe that complete healing, body, mind, soul, and spirit comes from the great physician, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's about 20 hours of Bible teaching and spiritual formation activity each week. The spiritual aspect of recovery is the central focus of the Teen Challenge program. So that's one area that's different from many other programs. Another is that we are affordable. There are secular programs out there that will charge $10,000 to $30,000 per month. And I've heard of people remortgaging their houses just for that hope of one month, that one month would find them free from addictions. And that seldom helps. Usually it requires a lot more. That's one of the reasons we're a 12-month program. Our registration fee is $1,100 for the entire 12 months, which is about 2% of our operating costs. And we don't receive government funding. One of the reasons is so we can stay Christ-centered, that we don't have to bend to criteria of program inclusiveness and other criteria that the government has. So the other 98% of our funding comes from individual donors, from businesses, church mission boards, Christian foundations, bequeathments, and we even have a vehicle donation program where if you have a vehicle that you're no longer needing, you know, it's kind of like kidney car. I don't know if you've heard of that, but you can donate your vehicle and we'll either fix it up and resell it, or if it's ready for scrap, we'll scrap it and all the proceeds come into the program. So if you have a vehicle, we have information at the back on that program. If you have a neighbor whose car you're really tired of looking at, give us a call. We'll see what we can do about that. I saw a few cars in the parking lot that I thought could be candidates too, but okay. At this point, moving right along, I'd like to call on Chuck to share what God is doing in his life in a really mighty way. And please welcome Chuck.
Thanks. morning, everybody. You might have to turn this down. Sometimes I get a little bit loud, so I'll leave that with you guys. Real warm welcome. Thanks for having us here this morning. I had an opportunity to meet quite a few of you, and I felt the love and warm welcome. So we'll jump right into it. My name's Chuck, and this is going to be my testimony. I grew up in a big, beautiful Christian home with beautiful Christian parents who were heavily involved in our church. My dad had a saying. His favorite saying was, no prayer, no power. I didn't really understand what that meant, but I'll explain it a little bit later. My mom also had a saying. It was, no Bible, no breakfast. So it's fair to say I knew quite a bit about Jesus growing up. I knew a little bit about him. Through Sunday school, going to church, and having my parents' love and example teach me about Jesus almost daily. When I was 13, my family moved to Sudbury. I continued going to church, and I started high school in a new city. It was not too long before I started smoking pot with my new friends. And when I was 16, I moved out and continued high school. At 18, I graduated high school, but I also graduated into cocaine. I worked as a bricklayer and different construction jobs. I always worked right out of high school. At that time, I could party all night and still be able to go to work the next day and never miss a shift. At the age of 28, I moved into the mining industry in Sudbury, making a very good salary. I gradually moved up to a supervisor's role and took my skill set out of town, flying in and fly out from the East Coast as far as the Yukon on the West Coast. Drinking and drugs were very common for a lot of the men, including myself, on these jobs. During those years, I got married. I had a beautiful daughter. I thought I had it all. We lived in a big home, had nice vehicles and all the toys. But I was still sneaking around with cocaine during those years. And without the Lord in my life, I was drifting further out into those darker waters, and the enemy was running the show in my life. On the outside and on Facebook, it looked like I had it all together, but I was so empty inside. So I self-medicated with pot, cocaine, and alcohol to dull the hurt in my heart. It was not too long after this I got separated. I would still see my daughter on my days off when I would fly back into town. And I was able to hide my addiction from her because of her young age, but that mask was still on. About 8 years ago, brokenhearted and lost, I started riding my Harley with old friends and drifted even further into those darker waters, joining their motorcycle club. So trying to balance my work life, my responsibilities with the club, and trying to care for my daughter, I became extremely exhausted. So I was now doing cocaine on a daily basis. Because of my lifestyle and bad decision-making, the last time I saw my daughter was almost 5 years ago. She was 12. I still remember that day. I cried for 4 days straight. And for the first time in my life, I was contemplating suicide. But I remember my younger days in Sunday school, so I cried out to Jesus. I just remember weeping and simply crying out, "Jesus, help me," asking him to take this burden and to take care of my daughter. Jesus did show up, saving me from those thoughts of suicide. And he gave me the strength, and I decided to quit the club. So I slipped out of the clubhouse one night, leaving a note in my vest and telling them I was quitting the club. And I started laying low because this is not the type of club that you just walk away from. So I was laying low for a few months, and I knew I needed Jesus to help me out of this jam. And I told my father about my dilemma. We prayed right there and then, and just like we had so many times before. I remember my dad saying after he prayed, he asked me, "Is there anything you want to say to Jesus?" I said, "Yes, Dad." He looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Son, Jesus is sitting right here at the table with us. Go ahead and talk with him." So I prayed, and once again, I asked Jesus for help, and that I was sorry for the way I was living my life. So my dad encouraged me to come to the early morning prayer meeting that that he was putting on at the church for 15 plus years. So I showed up, and all the men laid hands on me and prayed not only for me, but also for the bikers. And I still remember when I walked out of there, they all had their Bibles, and they said, let's go. I said, well, where are we going? They said, well, we want to go talk to them boys. I said, probably not a good idea, but I'll come back tomorrow morning for more prayer. But when I got home, I had a text message. It was from the president. He's saying, family first, we're letting you go, and we are praying for you. So the prayers in that meeting that morning were answered mightily. So I got to give the Lord credit for that one, because the chains just fell off. So I started going back to church. My drinking was done, but not my cocaine addiction. My head was not under water, but I was treading water on my own strength. I wanted to walk with Jesus, but with the sin and my addiction in my life, I felt like a storm. But one night, I got down on my knees, and I rededicated my life to Jesus and opened up my Bible and started reading it again. I'd like to share a scripture with you guys. I found it in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 37. After the feeding of the 5,000, when the disciples were crossing the sea, the Bible says, a furious storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I felt pretty swamped at that time in my life. But Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Verse 39, Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Jesus calmed the storm in my life that night. I went from a fear of drowning to finding peace. I had rededicated my life to the Lord, but knew in my heart it was like the rock with the parable of the seeds. I had no roots. And when temptation would come around, I would probably fold again. But the Holy Spirit was leading me to Teen Challenge. I had already completed the pre-entry testing and physical to enter the program and was waiting. I just knew something would happen in the course of a one-year separation season. So about 8.5 months ago, just like the Apostle Peter, before he could walk in the water, he first had to get out of the boat in faith. Well, I got out of a car 8.5 months ago in faith, the size of a mustard seed, and I walked into the front doors of a Teen Challenge in Renfrew. And Jesus was there to meet me. He was always there. So I got out of the car and continued my walk with Jesus at Teen Challenge. Today, I am walking with Jesus daily. I read my Bible daily, feeding the spirit part of me, praying daily, and I am prayed for daily, not only by clients and staff here, but also the many I've met during outreaches, my family and home church, including a few friends that are here today that come and visit the center on a regular. I have great mentors. We speak about Jesus all day long. To be honest, my whole life, I knew a lot about Jesus, but I never knew Jesus personally. And I no longer medicate on things of the world, but I meditate on God's word. And wow, what a feel. I was so hungry for the word, and now things are starting to happen, and I got to give the glory to God. I have a very personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who was there to greet me and lift me out of those dark waters that I was drowning in all those years. He was always there. He always wanted to talk with me. And I have come to realize it's not about my performance, but my presence that matters the most. Spending time with my Father at the table, Jesus. He wants to spend the whole day with me in every minute and every second. And he tells me, son, sit down and talk with me. Tell me everything. I want to know it all. But most importantly, he tells me that he loves me, that I'm his. I'm his son. I'm his child. Now my friend, my father, teacher, and personal spiritual trainer, Jesus, is the anchor in my life. That anchor will hold at any storm. He whispers to me in my spirit. He holds me close. He makes my crooked path straight. Like the song today, he fights for me, and he's fighting for my future. a teen challenge with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In this separation season, I am building a firm foundation like the wise builder on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And the seed is growing roots for once in my life, which is becoming my preparation season. The Holy Spirit led me to Teen Challenge, but he never left me. He led me there, and he said, I'll stay with you, and I'll guide you, man. Follow me. I said, thank you, Lord. I'd like to share one last scripture with you from 1 Peter 5:10. Talks about what God did for me and what he's wanting to do for you. It says, and the God of all grace called you to his eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. In the last couple of years, both my parents have gone to see Jesus face to face. Even though they didn't see it here on earth, their many prayers have been answered because today I am a child of God. And they will see the answer to their many, many prayers when I'm reunited one day soon in heaven. No prayer, no power. Remember I said I didn't understand what that meant? Now I do. Prayer is not a realm of talk. It is a realm of power. That's what the Bible tells me, and I know it's true. And I still miss my daughter greatly, but now I pray for her because I know there's power in my prayers. Jesus Christ is listening. And I can't wait to see her again and tell her and tell others about what a friend I have in Jesus one day soon. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Chuck. Scriptures say, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Next slide. We have a number of resources to tell you more about Teen Challenge. One is a video site called changedlives.ca. It's testimonies of graduates of the program. Many stories, like Matthew's and Chuck's, of what God has done in the midst of addiction. There is hope. There's no one that is hopeless. So next slide. How can you become involved in our ministry at Teen Challenge? The best way you can invest in what we are doing is to pray. Our ministry was founded on prayer, it's been built with prayer, and we continue to be sustained in prayer. I noticed that PPT has a prayer network, and we'd be honored if we'd be included in that occasionally. That you'd remember to pray for our men, for our graduates. Once they graduate, it's tough out there. It really is. Even the program is hard. They don't call it Teen Easy. It's Teen Challenge. Pray for our staff. For those in our waiting list, especially as winter comes, that's a tough place to be waiting on hold. Please pray for staffing. Right now we have a CSW. I should look at Jimmy Sheck to see if we still, yes, we're still okay. We still have a posting for a frontline worker, a CSW client, or a community support worker at the center. If you know of anyone, let us know. And, you know, we ask you to pray for our daily bread, for that other 98% of our budget, for the finances that would allow us to grow and serve more men. We do have prayer cards. Actually, we ran out of prayer cards, which I think is a good thing because it means a lot of people are praying for us. But I want to encourage everyone or every family to take a bookmark or something else and have it in a prominent place in your home to remind you to be praying for the ministry that we are doing, for the men that we're serving. While you're praying for us, if the Lord is leading you to support us on a regular basis or one-time gift, this brochure will guide you through that, and you can come talk to us at the back. Another brochure that we have, and I saw some out there. I'll make sure that you have some more of these. This is a brochure, Get Help Today. And on the back, it gives lots of great information. This is my favorite brochure. Gives a lot of information about our program. And most importantly, our intake information on the back, the toll-free number and the website. So if there's anyone that you know that is struggling with addictions, this might be a resource that you can share with them, along with the changedlives.ca website, the Stories of Hope. In closing, I'd like to give three invitations. And these invitations are for each one of us. You should walk away with one invitation, at least one, that is just for you. So no exceptions. So there'll be a test at the end. First invitation are for those who aren't experiencing that abundant life that Christ came to give us. You might know the Lord, but aren't experiencing that life. If you're feeling broken and hurting, Jesus is giving you an invitation. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you are looking for that rest, I'd like to invite you come to a time of prayer, and leaders from the church will be here. I'll be here at the front. But I want to invite you for a time of prayer. If you don't yet know the God of the universe, our creator, our sustainer, our savior, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you might be like Chuck. You've maybe grown up in church. You might know a lot about Jesus. Do you know Jesus personally? Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way. If you're looking for the way, he is the way, the only way. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. So if you feel the Lord, the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart today to accept the free gift, it's free, of eternal, abundant life, I'd like to invite you also to come up at the end of the service. I'd love to listen to you, hear you, answer any questions, and pray with you. So, the last invitation is for all of us who know the Lord and might be walking in that abundant life. I hope there's a good group of us here. Please know that that abundant life needs to be shared It's not just something to hold on to. It's something that needs to be shared to a broken, hurting world around us. I want to challenge you to pray, Lord, who are you putting on my heart? One name. Maybe before you leave here, one name, Lord, put on my heart that you were asking me to reach out to. So pray for who, then pray for what. Lord, what are you asking me to do? It might be an act of kindness. It might be a simple word. There's a guy who graduated this January. He was on the streets, shivering uncontrollably. This is last winter. And a woman came up to him, took her shawl off, wrapped it around him, took his cold hands in hers, warmed them up, looked in his eyes and said, "You don't belong here." Said those words sparked in him hope. Just prior to that, he was saying, "This is how I'm going to die. I'm going to freeze to death." That led to him enrolling at Teen Challenge. And he graduated last January. You never know those words of kindness, those kind acts. So I want to encourage you, Lord, who? What would you have me do? And then the third, Lord, give me the courage and the strength to do what you are asking me to do. Because just like David Wilkerson, many times he calls us out of our comfort zones. But then he gets the honor and the glory. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Elsewhere he says, "You are the light of the world." We are the light of the world when we reflect Jesus and we step out and are his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece. So let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have reached out to us, a broken people. We thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you for your grace. That each and every one of us in this world, in this room, need. Father, for those who are broken and hurting right now, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray that your Spirit would draw them closer to you. And we pray the same for those who don't know you yet, Lord, that your Spirit would draw them closer as well. Pray that you would show us, as we conform to your likeness, the people around us that you would call us to. Give us your heart. Break our heart with what breaks yours. And we thank you that you looked at us broken and separated from you, and you made a way in your Son. And we pray in his name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.